So in your view, when you arrived in Burnaby, was the development very conservation oriented, or did people?
Oh no, it was everybody had trees. They cut them down, and they had that mentality. There was some huge trees on this yard, and I can show you pictures of when the people that were before me, of the monster logs that were in here, and this part, right in front of the yard here, and the stumps and everything. You know, I mean monster logs.
Hmm.
And they just cut them down and got them away and cleared it out. And that was the mentality. Like I always said, some of those farmers, they would run half a mile with an axe if they saw a tree start to grow, you know. That was the mentality then, to clear the lot and clean it off and have just a bare lawn.
Hmm. Now, some of these other larger parks, like Deer Lake or Burnaby Lake, we think of them now as being fairly clean, pleasant, protected areas.
It is clean, relatively, as far as the water is concerned, clean. The garbage has been pretty well cleaned up over the years. I've been involved with the Burnaby Lake Association from the late 60s, and we met many times and dredged the lake with canoes, of course, and pulled out everything that we could find in the lake, and there was everything in there.
Wow. Like, what sorts of things did you find in
the lake? Oh, we found, there was still an old pool table down there, what was left of it, but we couldn't lift that up, but tires and car parts and stuff, piping, flues for different things. Contractors would just walk over there and throw it in the lake. We even found somebody blew a safe one time and dumped that in. How he got it into the lake, I don't know, because he had to carry it out there somehow.
Yeah.
And, lots of old stuff, which I have some pictures of. And Doreen Lawson was a great assistance in that, encouraging us to get out there. And we took truckloads and stuff out of there. We did it for years, but now it's pretty well cleaned up.
How about Deer Lake?
Deer Lake? Oh, Deer Lake was again another story, because they had swimming on Deer Lake. There was an old counselor by the name of Doug Drummond, not the latest Doug Drummond, but Doug Drummond before.
An earlier one,
and he wanted to have swimming on Deer Lake, and they filled in on the east side. It was all bog around there, so they filled it in with fill and everything else. And of course, Ocala was on the other side. And they had the barns there, and cattle, the horses, and everything, and pigs, and of course Ocala itself. And they dumped everything into Deer Lake. And Deer Lake, there would be a green scum all around the lake, and everybody at this end would be swimming in it and running around in the water and thinking that was the greatest. In fact, we built my last year on the park commission, we built a change room. So this people come out of the lake, they got to have a proper bath and everything, because it's not nice. So we built a change room and showers and everything, and it's never been used for that purpose since. So that was my great favorite. We spent all that money on building that nice change room that you see there.
Mm.
You'll see my name on the plaque down there on it, but it's a good building, but times have changed, and they realized that there was this great amount of feces and everything else in the lake, and it was unsafe for.
Can you remember when there maybe was sort of a deliberate, organized effort to start conserving these areas, maybe citizens groups?
Well, the first one I know of Burnaby Lake, and that was old John Thompson.
It'd
be
about
a great
when?
Man too. John Thompson, and he started in about 1964 to save the Burnaby Lake.
Hmm.
Burnaby Lake had many plans on it. People wanted to even fill it in one time, from use Burnaby Mountain to fill in Burnaby Lake and make it a couple of thousand acres of land. And others wanted to have the airplanes used to land on there, and
float planes
yeah,
on Burnaby Lake.
There was a couple. I lived right on Mr. D'Angelo. He lived on the Burnaby Lake, and he had a plane tied to his house, you know, or his wharf and everything. He'd take off and land there all the time. And then when they bought this property out, of course, that all stopped. And that was used considerably for that purpose. But not many people, very few people actually went on there to row around. I did all the time, but very few people did. Great blackberry hunting place.
So I think Burnaby Lake became a nature sanctuary about 1972 or 73. 70s?
Well, early 70s, it was taken over by the GVRD.
Ah.
Yeah, that was Burnaby assigned it over to the GVRD. So the GVRD looks after the lake in this clear-cut boundaries. It goes right up to the rowing, you know, the pavilion there.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of Burnaby's. And from then on, it's GVRD.
Mm-hmm.
Right up where you come to Caribou Road and you come to the horse barns down there, you know where they are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's Burnaby's. There's about
okay.
5 acres of there in Burnaby's. But the creek and Brunette River is GVRD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was done in the 70s. I sat on the committee there where they turned it over and they wanted us to form an organization. There was always the Burnaby Lake education group was there. We had a Mr. Gardner, and he used to bring kids from the school and teach them biology down by the lake, you know, to go in there and dip
mm-hmm.
for bugs and so forth and see what they all are and et cetera, et cetera.
They still do that.
Yeah, well, but they every class, as far as he was concerned, was to go down there, you know, right from from grade one on. And he was trying to encourage the school board to do that, but it was a tough grind because not too many teachers wanted to do that, you know. But he was one of our leaders in there because he was a biology teacher and he was a forestry man before that,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, and he was a teacher, so he was a great leader for us to learn more about the intricacies
mm-hmm.
of... we saw things, but we didn't understand the invasive species, for instance. He understood invasive species, and he explained it to us. Now we know what to look for in species that were introduced there that were not natural there, you know, like the deciduous trees, most of them were unnatural. He said, that wasn't here, that didn't belong here. This was bog type of
mm-hmm.
trees, fir
mm-hmm.
trees, spruce trees, jack pine. But you won't find jack pine there anymore. It was gone.
Yeah. Can you remember in trying to get more conservation measures brought in, who did you have to convince this was a good idea?
Well, in those days, when I was in the 70s, the Parks Commission was most sympathetic to it. But then again, the Parks Commission of the day had a lot more, say in the matter of, say, because... Bob Pretty, the mayor of the day, he wrote out a mandate for the Park Commission. So the Park Commission has changed along. First it was elected, and then it was appointed, and then it was something else, you know. So then this is the first time they had a mandate drafted out, and he said we had all the powers of a council except mm-hmm. the passing of the budget. So we made up a budget that we're pretty sure that council would pass, but some of the stuff there was not very... controversial, but to the council, but not to us. We thought it was first.
Hmm.
And one of the things was the environment. We did a lot on the environment. Reese Hall was a commissioner of the day. He lived down in South Burnaby, and he was a great guy for saving the ravines
hmm.
in South Burnaby. If it wasn't for him, those ravines would not be there even.
Hmm.
But he had a great say in the matter, and we set aside the ravines as a natural green area and protected area from development.
Hmm.